Hey, everybody.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Between Realities. My name is Alex VR. I am joined here by my co-host, Skiva.
How you doing, everybody?
And this is episode 6, the Half-Life special in anticipation for arguably the largest VR game release of all time tomorrow morning. We are live on YouTube, and we have waiting in the wings with us a amazing guest who we are super, super excited to have with us on the episode. He is the operator of a really popular YouTube virtual reality channel and a Twitch stream. He also owns and operates a successful VR website. Please welcome to City 19, Russell's
Laboratory. City 17.
City 17, Russell's Laboratory, Anthony from VR365.
What is up, guys? How's it going? Alex, Skiva, how you guys doing?
Good,
so
man.
Good. And if you're joining us from the botched stream that we just started,
yes,
5 seconds
ago,
thank you for your patience.
Sorry about that. Yep.
I'm joining you from Sacramento, California, the epicenter. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad we're here to capitalize on the technology that we have. You know what I mean? Steve and I, we got to roll the dice. We're rolling the dice.
I'm in a really nice Fallout 4 monitor, like a Pip-Boy monitor. I like it.
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's what they have here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, things are
Russell's
bleak.
Lab. Yep. Yeah. It's not that much better here in City 17 than it is in the real world.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately.
James M. in the chat, thanks for joining us, brother. The VR Mang. Appreciate you coming in and jumping ship from the initial stream.
Yes.
Radio
yes.
Runt, how's it going, brother?
Crazy
Thank
there
you.
For a minute.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Anybody else jumping back in? So this is, of course, the Half-Life Alex special, man. Like, this is going down, you know. Huge, huge release from Valve tomorrow. Everyone knows about it. I don't have to tell you what's happening. We're just here to hype it up. We're here to talk about the game, maybe talk about the franchise a little bit, and just exist in this until the game comes out tomorrow morning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, it's going to be totally amazing, right? This is like Christmas Eve for the whole VR community.
I got a great idea. Let's just go all the way, man. We'll keep going until it's available.
Gaming Science Teacher, man. Thank you for coming back.
Yes,
jumping ship
you.
Over.
Good to have you.
Absolutely. So I got to tell you, I feel like this is a good place to lead. I am having some feelings, you know, about this game coming out tomorrow. Because first of all, if I haven't made this painfully obvious to anybody who watches the show, tomorrow is my birthday, all right? Alex VR, Half-Life Alex, March 23rd, March 23rd, the prophecy fulfilled, it's coming true. However, here's my problem. I bought, like a lot of people, when this shit became available, woo, that's me. Danny, how's it going, brother? Thanks for joining us. So I bought the Valve Index controllers. With a new stock, you know, a lot of people bought indexes, and a lot of these things shipped first. So I got the controllers.
Because you have an HTC Vive Pro.
Correct. I have a Vive Pro, so I got the controllers to play Half-Life Alyx on, and basically anything that needs thumbsticks, because the wands are just not cutting it. And I'm on 2 to 4 week shipping right now. They haven't taken my money, and therefore I don't get the code for Half-Life Alyx that was included with my order. You know, like, I jumped on that knowing that I would get the game for free, but, like, where's the incentive to buy that shit if you're not going to give me the game on release day? Like, do I really have to wait, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, because, you could have played it on your Quest with Link, right? And, you could have been happy as pie, and then you could have had your second playthrough with the index controllers.
Right,
it would have been great.
And I'm happy to do it with the Quest with Link while I'm waiting on the controllers, but, like, I don't have a game code, so I don't know, man. I might miss like the gates flying open on this one. Which
Have you ever tried to do like game share with some other person where, you know, when they're not using their account, like sometimes this works nicely if somebody's like in Europe and you're here in the USA, you know, and like if you do game share, they're asleep and you might be able to play Half-Life Alyx soon.
Well, we do game share.
Yeah, we
Steve
do.
Steve and I. Yep. So I guess that is an option. It's not a possibility that I had considered. So
thanks for
adding a little silver to the lining of that cloud for me.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully, you know me, I'm going to be like up at you know, and ready to play that at exactly 10 o'clock, you know, and then when I'm done, you can have it go through. That'd be great. That's cool. I think that'd work. This game, man, this game means so much for not just the gaming community, but for VR as a whole, right? We have this huge, huge IP coming to VR that that people want to buy into, no matter what console it's on, no matter what system it's on. People want to play Half-Life, right? So they are going to be coming to VR now. Like, wow. I feel like this is just a big deal for the whole industry.
God, you know what sucks though? It just popped into my head. Think of all the people, like, imagine there was nothing, imagine normalcy, right? Okay, imagine everything's normal, VR arcades are operating. Think of all the people that would be like, well, I don't have a gaming PC, but this freaking Half-Life Alyx thing is out. I'm going to a VR arcade. I'm putting down $35. I'm going to see what this thing's like for an hour.
I bet you a lot of people will. I mean,
and then they'll go home
now,
and buy a system.
Now.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, that's true. Not now.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing, the whole COVID-19 thing, you know, we don't really want to talk about it, but unfortunately, it's in our face with everything right now, right? So it's like,
somebody says the feed's gone.
The feed's gone.
Yeah,
you see it there, though.
Yeah, I still see it. It might cut out in a minute. I don't know. Let us know, guys, if we need to do something.
Let us know if something happened. Yeah, this whole thing with COVID-19, it's like, it's killing the hardware industry that's producing the headsets. It's killing, you know, the people being able to go out and buy computers, you know? It's like, it's a bad thing, right? VR finally got its moment, and this virus is coming in and kind of sweeping it out from underneath us, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's super unfortunate, and you know, hopefully, you know, we'll get through it.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think it will. I think the big thing with the whole thing, and I don't want to talk too much about this, but I think the big thing is that, you know, we just live in an unprecedented time of communication and information. You know, like, people before, like, an outbreak would happen, and then by the time you hear about it, it's already like in full like raging mode, you know. But now, like, this is something that, like, where we, because of the way that we communicate and how information is basically instantaneous, we're like, oh hey, we can keep this from happening, you know, like, we can get on top of this and prevent it from fucking us up before it gets here. And I think that's what we're seeing, is us using the technology that we have available to us to take preventative measures in an unprecedented way
Sure.
that we were never able to do before.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I mean, what do you think, Anthony, about this whole, just the whole ordeal?
I'm sorry I brought it up, honestly. Let's go ahead. Let's move on with the next little part of the show.
All right. Well, there's definitely a lot to talk about. So did you see that? Did you see the interview with IGN, Gabe Newell and Robin Walker?
Yes. Now, I did see that interview, and so it was an interesting interview. I watched the whole thing, and every word out of Gaben's mouth is always interesting, because you want to know, what is this guy thinking? You know, where is he coming from? What is his thought process? Because this is a private company. They don't have shareholders. They don't have stock meetings. We don't know what they're doing in there. And so when Gaben is interviewed, you get a little bit of an insight what's going on. Now, truth be told, if you really watch that interview, he said very little about VR in the entire thing. Now, he talks about Half-Life Alyx, which is a VR game, and he talks about, like, brain-computer interfaces and stuff like that, but there's very little actual VR discussion in that half-hour interview.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I don't want to bash these guys too badly, but I didn't love the questions that he was being asked during that interview. I felt like the guy was, like, a little disconnected and was, like, asking questions that had already been answered just because that was the plan and I'm not breaking from it. But I really got this vibe that, like, it's a lot is going to come down to how this game goes. It's like, if this comes out and kills it, then the conversation is going to be on the table to, like, really dive deep into the VR world. If this game comes out and falls flat of their expectations, then they're going to be going back to the drawing board and like really, you know, like trying to determine what is going to be the best move for them moving forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any realistic possibility that this game could fall flat? I think that's virtually, that's like saying Naughty Dog is going to make a shitty game.
You know, I feel you. And I don't think that there's a possibility, but he didn't want to say until he knew for sure. You know, I feel like he was like, we'll have that conversation once the game comes out and we know what we're actually dealing with.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Totally. Yeah. It is also interesting that he didn't talk a whole lot about the future of VR or anything. I mean, he kind of did and he kind of didn't, right? Because I feel like the future of VR really is brain interfacing. You know, I mean, we're a ways off. It's not like, you know, Quest 2 is going to be reading your thoughts. I mean, although they might start because they bought that whole company. So maybe, but it's not going to be like, it's not going to be like the whole Black Mirror thing, right? Where you put it on your temple and like, it's taking over your sensories and, you know, but you know, it's coming. And that's what they're working on. And he touched on that interview, right? That it might be easier than you might think to read and write.
Which is insane. Graham Gettle, thank you for joining us, man. Your support is everything to us. I really appreciate you. You're the real deal.
Thanks, Graham.
Yeah, you know, I think that it will be in conjunction with VR, because VR is simply just like immersive stuff, you know, like it's immersive content, it's immersive gaming, it's like just immersion, you know. And brain interfacing, the way that I understand that it'll manifest, is something to where like it can tell whether or not you're bored, so it can like throw something really exciting your way.
Well, now, right?
Now, yeah, but I mean, right. Where is it? You know, that doesn't exist yet. Like, we're not playing that game.
Right.
And we're gonna see that, I think, first, where it's like it can know how engaged you are, and depending on your level of connection to what's happening, it can like alter the experience and give you whatever it is the desired outcome of your brain frequencies is, you know?
Right.
Some crazy shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's super
bizarre. To have a guy like Gabe be like, hey, brain interfacing. brain interfacing, I think, is a big thing.
And for him to say that companies that aren't seriously considering this, it's going to be an extinction level event for them. Right, that for the normal entertainment industry, and if people aren't ready, that they're going to get left by the wayside. So I don't know, you know, I don't know when that's coming exactly, but it's coming. Smart people are working on it. Really smart people. So what do you think about the whole thing with them talking about the Matrix not being that far away, right?
Yeah, I mean. Pretty surreal, right? To think that would be possible. It just, dude, I watch Black Mirror like the next guy, right? And I love that stuff. And the idea of it happening, it does seem inevitable. It surely does seem inevitable. But what kind of timelines are we talking about? It's kind of the same thing with 5G. It's the same thing with AI. It seems like we expect that these dramatic life-changing events are going to happen within the next 5 years. Sometimes it's like, just look at VR. Look at VR. I remember when the Atari Jaguar thought it was going to have a VR headset. I remember when Sega was going to have a VR headset. And back then, people could have thought, yeah, we're right on the cusp of VR. And then think how many effing years later it took before we actually really got it. That was like 1993, and we had to wait till 2016. That is a pretty long time.
But it was in your lifetime, right?
Yeah.
So what you're saying then is, in our lifetime, we might be able to put on a brain interfacing thing from Valve, right? And just jack into the system. And then be in City 17 and locomotion solved and all of these issues that we can't get around with hardware and big treadmills and stuff, right?
Are gonna it solves all the VR porn issues too. It's directly interfaces.
Dude, that's a slippery ass slope.
That is,
man.
A slippery slope. Let's keep it on Half-Life, boys.
Well, no, not the topic. I know, I'm just kidding. But just like, I can't imagine having that in my fingertips all the time. Like,
I know.
Would it destroy relationships? With like, or would, yes, would it enhance it will. Them? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think so.
Will procreating could change everything, right? People might not have as many kids. Who knows, man? It's kind of
Do you guys remember the movie? This was all predicted in advance. It was predicted. Taco Bell Cantina was predicted.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Sylvester Stallone. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, definitely. Like, remember the machines they put on?
Yeah,
they didn't even touch each other.
So today Anthony's going to tell us,
brother.
Anthony's going to tell us how to use the seashells.
The seashells.
I don't know. Do you remember that in Demolition Man? They'd go into the stalls and there would be just three seashells, right? And everyone, then no toilet paper, and everyone's like, "What the hell?" Anyway, they never told you how to use the seashells.
But here's the point that I do want to make on the topic of VR porn and sex is that, like, you know, VR porn is not a loving relationship. Or porn, period, is not a loving relationship, and there's certainly no replacement for it. So just making, like, getting off quickly an immersive experience, like, do you think it really would challenge, like...
It'll sell headsets.
Okay, but think of the AI we're going to have in 20 years, though. Think of the AI we're going to have. You're going to be... you're going to have a deeper relationship with your AI than you're going to have with anybody in your real life. Your AI is going to know, it's going to know you like God knows you.
That's a really good point, man. Yeah. Like, why waste my time dicking around with these people who don't fucking get it when I could just talk to my AI who gives me what I'm looking for?
Well, you know, like the last show that you were on that never aired, Anthony, you talked about the movie Her. And it's going to be it could very well turn out to be like that, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be just porn. It could be full relationships with artificial intelligence. You know, especially if it gets to the point where it's glasses or just, you know, some kind of brain interfacing thing.
Hey, guys, you know, the like, we're talking about this incredible game that's about to come out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But do you ever imagine that any of these developers, like, we're talking about AI and having these relationships and stuff, but what about a developer trying to, like, fake a relationship? Is that possible with our current technology where it could just ask you like a yes or no question, you respond to that, you know, it asks another yes or no question, it's handing you things, you're taking things, it's coming over and fixing something on you, and like we haven't seen that much of that. Before we ever got VR, I thought, oh, this is going to be a game changer because they're going to know where I'm looking. Mm-hmm. So characters can be like, hey, why are you looking over there? I'm telling you about this thing over here. Like, can people fake this, or is it just too hard to fake? Is it just too easy to fall apart?
I think you can fake it. And I think that a lot of people take it to the next level, often with like their pets and animals and stuff. Like, they personify the ever living shit out of their dogs, who do not have they have complex things happening. They're able to communicate in ways, but they are not humans. But humans constantly impose themselves onto things around them. I mean, Castaway, he fucking becomes homies with a volleyball, you know?
Yeah.
So if you have a thing that is like designed to respond in a way that's human-like, I think that's good enough. I think you would fill the gaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny, actually, the past couple days, I've been playing the ever-living shit out of Animal Crossing on my Nintendo Switch. I'm a huge Animal Crossing fan. I love the game. And in that game, there's little villagers that walk around your town, and they all have pre-recorded responses when you walk up and start dialogues with them, just like any other video game character. But it's the same characters every day. They're a part of your town, and you get to know the personality type that they've set up for each villager. And before you know it, you fall in love with these inanimate little characters in your dumb, stupid little cartoon town. You know? So I think with the immersion and like the intensity that VR brings to that, I totally think that they could fake it. I think the technology is there to make it good.
I think they could fake it as well. I just think it takes an incredible amount of resources and programming. And obviously right now the market isn't that size.
Delirium Drew says, I saw Ex Machina. I'll pass on the personal robot sexer.
That was a great movie.
Ex Machina is so good.
That was a great
movie. That is a great movie about AI. Yeah. I thought it was awesome. I was like edge of my seat the whole time watching it.
Yeah, man. That was a really good flick. I think it really shows, you know, where humanity could go. So, you know, I feel like that movie was also very closely tied into Black Mirror. It was a lot of the same actors and stuff in that. I don't know if you noticed that. But
I did not notice that.
Yeah.
I wish they had a number two where the helicopter lands and she gets out and then what happens.
Right. You
know? Right, yeah.
They should definitely leave a lot there. Up to your imagination in that one.
Yep. Like they should have done with The Matrix.
Gaming science teacher says fewer relationships, fewer babies in Detroit become human. Realistic androids, good enough replacements.
I haven't played that game, Become Human, Detroit Become Human.
Me either.
It looked really, really good. That's I did want to get into this. That. Yeah. Yeah.
I bet you that's good.
Yeah.
It must be. I mean, if they're like, we're making a game about AI, like,
yeah,
it's got to be dope, right?
Yeah.
I like AI stuff. Everything that revolves around is good. iRobot's really good.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But yeah, man, this technology is coming down the corridor. So we'll see.
Hey, can I ask you guys a quick question about the brain computer interfacing thing? Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you guys remember when they first started doing LASIK surgery? Because I compare it to that, where it's like when they first start doing LASIK surgery, I'm not going to be the first guy that gets it done. I don't think I'm going to be there in year number two or three. But like 10 years later, when these people have done 10,000 LASIK surgeries, then that's when I'm going to sign up. Because like the really impressive brain computer interface stuff requires an implant,
right?
To Correct. The best of my knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's some scary shit. You know, like it we've is. Messed around with the Lucid Lab brain interfacing stuff. We saw them at VRX in San Francisco, and they actually sent me a unit, which I haven't had the chance to mess with yet, but I'm totally going to do it. But it has the EEG sensing pad on the attachment for the headset. So you get the display that connects directly to the EEG sensors, and it works pretty well. Like you can tell that this is something that like they're working on and that, you know, has a long way to go before it's like, holy fuck, I'm controlling this totally with my mind. But like I was able to like kind of meditate and relax, and there was totally a response to me either meditating and breathing and relaxing or like really trying to focus hard on it. There's a video of that on my channel if anybody's interested in looking at that. Definitely do so. And I plan on doing a live stream at some point, just like live trying it out. Like, all right, tell me what to think about. Like, let's see if it works, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it's starting to land in houses. People are starting to get their hands on EEG sensing. Now, this isn't true brain interfacing, but it's definitely a step in the right in that direction, you know?
For sure. And definitely non-invasive, right?
I mean, you know what's cool? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's you.
Mm-hmm. All you.
Well, I was just going to say one cool aspect of the brain computer interface idea of just simple, like reading your thoughts where you're like, I want to grab this cup and then have that cup fly over there like a Jedi, you know, like force powers, right? Mm-hmm. Like that shouldn't be that super hard with brain computer interfaces in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. And haven't you guys ever been in a VR game where you do have those kind of powers, and because you have those kind of powers and the entire world is like surrounding you, you really feel like you are this powerful, forceful being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And now imagine adding, when you add the brain aspect as well, and you're like creating huge fireballs and shooting them wherever you want them to go with your brain.
We did that.
That was the demo. That was the VR. That was literally the demo that Lucid Labs had going, where you like hold your hand out and like focus on it like super, super hard and like watch it grow. And if you like relax, it like kind of starts to small. You have to like stay on it and like build that fucker and then throw it. Again, you know, I feel like they have a ways to go with it, but that's definitely what they're trying to accomplish with the EEG sensor.
Yeah. I remember that demo where there was a bunch of boxes laying on the ground. And you have to concentrate and think, and then the boxes start to levitate off the ground and go up into the air. And then when you break your train of thought, they all fall to the ground, and you really, truly feel like you have the force.
Right. But you this know, is not like
a simple demo, right?
It's just on off. It's just like relaxing or not relaxing.
Right.
Like on off. Nothing complicated or, you know, being able to like move it where I want it to go or something like that. But to your point, we're probably not that far away from it, Anthony. And to Gabe's point too, he's like, yo, this shit's coming, everybody, like get ready. You know, he dropped brain interfacing like 4 times in that 30-minute interview. And the guy was not trying to talk about brain interfacing, but he was like, we're talking, but I'm doing this stuff, everybody.
So OBS just told me that the stream cut out for a second, but it's back, and it looks like it's healthy.
Okay, cool.
So, hopefully everyone comes back here. You know, it's crazy is, like, everyone is home, right? And it's Sunday night and everyone's using the internet and stuff. So yeah, it's gonna be a little crazy trying to do this.
And
live
my
stream.
My internet is not good to begin with. I need like a completely new internet provider. No joke.
Yeah,
that's a good point though that you said. Yeah. Like, everyone is online, you know,
right.
Like chilling at home, playing games. I actually heard somebody say something to the effect of that, like online gaming is like the biggest threat right now to like the internet.
It is. Like, well, that and Netflix and stuff, right? If Netflix had to reduce their stream qualities, so they didn't break the internet. I mean, everyone's home streaming stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to take a little bit of participation from all these companies to not break the internet right now because this equipment's getting taxed pretty hard.
What do we got?
So we got, you know, talking a little bit more about this interview, and I'm just going to switch over to the interview scene here where you can kind of see it in the background. But the programmer, Robin Walker, this guy's been there, the guy in the red, he's been there since the beginning, right? Valve used to have a tendency to hire modders, and they brought this guy on. And he has done great things for Valve. He was part of Half-Life 1, part of Half-Life 2, now part of Half-Life Alyx. So it's really exciting to see and to hear the things that he was talking about, right? With how excited the team is to get back into the Half-Life IP. And that's really exciting because that means they don't want to stop at just Half-Life Alyx.
Right.
Right? They're really excited. And if this has a good reception, then, you know, from one of the other interviews, he mentioned with Tested, they did an interview with Tested, and they mentioned that if this was received well, that the possibilities for Half-Life 3 is a very real thing. So...
Now,
disconnecting and reconnecting again.
Yeah, that's weird.
Damn, dude.
Anthony, what's your Half-Life story? Like, I'm curious, what's your relationship with the franchise, Half-Life?
Half-Life? Okay, so 1998, that's when I was a hardcore PC gamer, actually, is back in 19, like, I was upgrading my computer, like, every 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
CPU... graphics card, memory, switching out motherboards eventually when you had to do that. And I got Half-Life immediately and played the entire game all the way through. Really incredible. Now, when Half-Life 2 came out, I was a console gamer actually at that time. I had like the original Xbox, I had like a GameCube, PlayStation 2, Dreamcast or whatever. I was a console guy. And I didn't have a gaming PC. And when I saw Half-Life 2 come out, I was like, yeah, that looks really good. That looks really good. But I ain't getting a gaming PC, man. I got all these consoles. So I didn't get into Half-Life 2 until Orange Box on Xbox 360, which was like 2009 or something. But I really got into it when I finally got it. And I distinctively remember we used to go on vacation to this place in Monterey that had like this little, it was like an apartment, but it would have this like, you know, like upstairs, like a little cove upstairs that was perfect for like, I could sit up there with my monitor and my headphones. Like I was a gaming nerd, dude. So we'd be going for 4 days. I'm bringing like some gaming system with me, right? I brought my 360. I brought my computer monitor, widescreen headphones, ready to go. I'm playing freaking Orange Box, and the vibe of everything, I loved it. It was awesome. It's got that Orwellian, that's what I like most about it, actually, is the whole oppressive government Orwellian 1984. Dude, 1980, I mean, no, I shouldn't say that then, but it's like 1984 right now, bro.
Right, dude, well, and that's another podcast right there, but I feel you entirely. It definitely is. It almost seems like eerily, like coincidal, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a word, but I'm trying to express myself.
So I, you know, back in the day I got, you know, I also had, a gaming PC and had, you know, was upgrading all the time. And when Half-Life, the original Half-Life came on, so I'll throw in the trailer here, I didn't expect anything from it. It was this new thing, you know, from this guy who left Microsoft, from these guys that left Microsoft, right? And so I didn't have a whole lot of faith in them, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then I played this game, And it was just like, unlike anything I've ever played before, right? I mean, before this was Quake and Doom and, you know, maybe Quake 2, but this game was able to tell the story in a first-person shooter game unlike any other game I had played before. It didn't really cut to cut scenes, you know, it didn't do any of that, but it put you in the body of Gordon Freeman, mm-hmm. right? And crawling through the air ducts and you know, facehuggers, just jumping out and scaring the crap out of you. It was intense, man. You know, and I was a little bit younger. I wasn't too young, but it was really impressive and it was really intense. Then came Half-Life 2. And oh my God, the things that they did with that game, like the physics interactions. I mean, that's the thing with Valve, right? They take the current technology that's out there and they take Half-Life and they put it on it and they bring out every little last drip of juice that they can get out of this stuff, right? And they show the industry how they can, you know, what the limits are of some of this stuff, right?
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
No, on that point that you're making right now, mm-hmm. Skiba, one of the most exciting things about tomorrow is think about Mario 64, okay? Mm-hmm. Remember when we got the Nintendo 64, the controller? Yeah. The controller and Mario 64 were made for each other, yep. That whole thing. And we're about to see tomorrow is the first controller game, the real first controller game.
This is true.
That's a great point, man. Yeah. And like for me, that Mario 64 moment is real, bro. Like I feel that so, like I feel that like resonates with my soul. Like that game mm-hmm. changed my life. Yeah. Like it's so freaking good. And you know, we're like, here we are like seasoned gamers, been playing games for years and years and years, but like, imagine being like 10 years old right now and your dad has a Valve Index and he puts you in this shit. Like, this is going to be your Mario. Like, you are going to have yeah. like your world rocked by this. So yeah. like, sure, we're all adults and we're yeah. sitting here talking about like how we expect it to be good. We want it to be good, but like, yeah. there are going to be kids who don't know the difference between good and bad, who are just yeah. going to get tossed into this and have their minds absolutely freaking blown.
Yeah. And I feel like something that no one's really considering too is this is going to be a decently terrifying experience.
Yeah, I guess you know? Thrilling.
Yeah, thrilling and terrifying. I mean, you know, the first two Half-Life games got very scary at points. And being so immersed in this technology, you know, and having these things jump at your face, man, it's going to get intense. Mm-hmm. It's going to get really intense. And I'm really, really excited.
You know, I wonder... I haven't been paying attention to, like, all the minutiae of, like... how many levels there are. Like, I don't know any spoiler type stuff mm-hmm. or like, I really haven't been watching a lot of stuff. I haven't been reading articles. I just want to play this game. But one question I do have is like what you're talking about there with, I've been in games where stuff jumps for your face and it is, I can deal with it, but there's a certain player out there that just is like, nah, man, I'm not going to play this.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if they have yeah. a setting in the options to like, like they need like a I'm not ready for this mode.
Zero chance, dude.
Think about yeah, I know, right?
but don't they want it mainstream? I guess
yeah,
not.
Yeah, well they do, man. but at the same time I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can cripple a game because if you're into Half-Life, you know, I don't know, man. I don't think you can do that. I don't know if that would work. I mean, but at the same time, a lot of people, this is going to be their first VR experience, mm-hmm. right? It's going to be an intense one.
Or a first Half-Life experience.
Yeah, you know, that's like, true. That's
for
true
me,
as well.
I was younger than you when that game came out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember playing Mario 64. Like, that was a huge deal and all. But I had, like, consoles as a kid growing up. So by the time I got a computer, that, you know, Half-Life just wasn't the game that my dad brought home. Like, I just didn't play it. But sometimes I would be at my friend's house, and they would have it, and I would just jump on their computer mm-hmm. and smack facehuggers with a crowbar and, like, you know, smack the meat pieces around, you know? Like, that's basically... I mean, I've probably completed a few levels, but yep. I certainly don't understand, like... the deep lore and like the deep story behind all of this stuff. Yeah. So Alex is actually going to be like my real introduction to the universe, you know, not just like a game with mechanics, mm-hmm. but like the actual world of Half-Life. So there's people like
have
me.
You watched any Alex, have you watched any videos that like catch you up on the back lore of like Half-Life? Because I'm kind of thinking of watching it for Half-Life 1 just to remind me of everything. But Half-Life 2, I haven't completely finished Half-Life 2. Mm-hmm. I know. And I'm waiting for a more legit VR port.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Will we finally get a legit VR port that doesn't require jumping through hoops or Gary's mod and, is more smooth and locked in.
Mm-hmm. I would find it extremely weird if Valve didn't eventually, maybe 6 months after the release of Alex or something like that, if they didn't put out Half-Life 2 in VR. You know it's working, right? I mean, the first thing that Gabe said when VR started becoming a thing is, well, we got to get Half-Life running in it. Mm-hmm. So they did. and they didn't want to just build on the same engine, so they built a whole new engine out of it, right? But I think we will get a legit Half-Life 2 in VR. And don't jump into it now. I wouldn't say. I mean, having to use Gary's mod, it's okay.
Yeah, we tried to kind of jump in there and mess around with it, and he got in there before I did, and he was like, yo, this is pretty janky, man. Like, I don't think this is the experience we're looking for.
Yeah.
What I would love to see is an HD remaster, because if this story really is that fucking good, it's worth HD remastering and to get younger people into it, because kid is going to go through some janky-ass looking game after he plays Alex. It's not going to happen.
True, but what just happened is they remade the original Half-Life. A bunch of fans remade the original Half-Life and actually got endorsed by Valve to continue and keep going. And they called it Black Mesa, right? So they rebuilt Half-Life 1 and the Source engine, right? And they made everything look really, really good. And I'm really looking forward to going through this game eventually, after
there
Alex.
Do you guys remember that Half-Life 2 VR mod that was like in perpetual development forever and a day? Remember that?
Yes.
Like that was pretty far along. Like they had a trailer that kind of showed how it looked and everything. And one aspect of that is they may have been told privately by Valve, look, you can continue to work on this project, but you can't release it until such and such a date, just because they don't want anything screwing with the whole Half-Life thing. Yeah. And so maybe once Alex comes out and months go by, maybe that thing comes out and
Valve buys small development companies. Valve hires modders, right? So what I think happened is speculation completely, but I think they got maybe not a cease and desist, but I think they got some communication from Valve to go radio silent on it, or maybe quit, right? But I think maybe they got scooped up because it was looking pretty good, right? So maybe they got scooped up to actually work on this officially for Valve.
Gaming science teacher said that there was a head crab gif going around that had people like thinking that it was super scary. And Delirium Drew just said that he needs to play Black Mesa. He's never played too much of the original, but Half-Life 2 is his jam. So I feel like that would be the best way to do it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely go in and play it through Black Mesa because, unless you want to play Half-Life original in VR on the Quest, I went through it from start to finish. And I thought it was a great experience. Mm-hmm. It was a little...
On the Quest?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, on the Quest.
Oh, sweet.
And, there was a little bit of jank here and there, but it really wasn't that bad. And it's gotten a lot better. And I would definitely recommend going through it. I really liked it.
And the other thought that I'm having right now, too, is like Half-Life Alyx can be the only thing on a shelf with a Half-Life tag on it. Because like all the moms that go out to like buy the game, or whatever, like they're going to get it messed up. It's like the branding really is important. And if all of a sudden there's like a Half-Life 2 HD remaster right on the shelf next to Half-Life Alyx, it just kind of gets convoluted. And it's like, no, there's only one thing you need to be focusing on right now.
Right.
And that's Half-Life Alyx.
Did you guys see, did you guys see that fake picture of a Best Buy with Half-Life Alyx at a Best Buy? Did you see that?
I did.
It was so good. It looks so good. It looks so real.
It was some content creator did that. I can't remember who it was. I barely remember that. But he had it like it was a physical release. Yeah.
Like it was accidentally at a Best Buy and the guy bought it and everything. It looks so real, but it was so inconceivable. It makes no sense whatsoever.
I would love to see them do Black Mesa and make a Black Mesa VR mod. I think that would be cool.
Well, that's the cool thing about a lot of these games, is you can just make them VR compatible after they're finished, you know? Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they had anything in mind when they made Black Mesa, right? If for to make the conversion over to VR any easier, or if they just kind of went with it.
Did you know that Danny is a Half-Life virgin?
Ooh, Danny, you're a Half-Life virgin. Oh, dude, we're going to have to pop that Half-Life cherry.
I think you can play Alex without looking at anything, and you'll probably have a great time, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think that's what I'm going to do. I don't think I need to watch the story recap or any of that. I think I'm just going to go in and be like, this is me now. And
I think they purposely make the game so you can do that, and it's still going to be very entertaining, and you're not going to lose much.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's multiple... you know, this goes for multiple crowds, right? It's like you can, on one hand, a new person can hop in and have a great time and be introduced to the IP, and on the other hand, you know, someone can go down a nostalgic, you know, journey through a world that they've been growing up with.
Maybe like Super Mario Odyssey. You know, like if you played Super Mario Odyssey, you'll know that there's a lot of fan service for Mario 64 players in that game. So it's like if you played Mario 64, you see all those things, you're like, oh, Mario 64, this is so great. But if you didn't, like, you can just take it at face value and it's still going to be good, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
Probably.
Hey, have you ever shown VR to somebody? You give them a VR demo and they're like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Never.
Yes, I have.
Never. Really?
That's never happened to me.
It's happened to me.
Really?
It's happened to me. And my question, so the question is for you, Alex. You've had this happen to you. Do you think Alex might have a section where you could put somebody in and that's going to be like, okay, now this is something?
I certainly hope so. Or something like easily accessed would be great. Like if there's like a scene in the middle of the game that would be perfect to onboard someone, that would suck. Mm-hmm. Like it would be really cool if like they could put you in an environment and like let you do some stuff and like let you understand, because I mean, just going through the environments in SteamVR Home, I was blown away. I was like, fuck, this looks really good. And nothing was interactive. You couldn't grab stuff or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's just an environment. So I can only imagine what that game is going to look like.
Yeah.
And this, and because it will look so good, that's what it's going to take for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people see super
high. Hey, what about your PC? Any worry about like your PC being able to run this baby?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so. By the way, gaming science teacher also said that she's never played a Half-Life game. And I know she's, you know, I know gaming science teacher, you're not into, first-person shooters, but I'm kind of curious, are you going to try to play this game? Are you going to go somewhere and hop on someone's PC, maybe plug in your Quest and give it a try?
Because I guess you could have classified it as a first-person shooter back in the day, but now you're doing a lot more than shooting. You know, you're interacting, like you are in there.
Yeah.
Like,
well, can you imagine?
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a really good point. This isn't just a wham, bam, thank you, man. Right. You're going to be, especially because of VR and how VR like caters so nicely to manipulating knobs and levers and stuff.
Yeah. You're opening the doors. You're grabbing the stuff off the shelf and putting it in the computer. And, you know, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of action, but plenty more along with
it. Yeah, they pay a lot of attention to detail. You know, and they kind of showed that in the trailers and stuff too. So there's going to be a lot you can interact with. There's going to be a lot of objects all over the place that you can toss around. And I mean, it's going to be a very immersive experience. And for someone, you know, I'm curious, for someone like gaming science teacher that doesn't play shooters, you know, the type of experience that's gonna give her. You know?
Hopefully, to Anthony's point, they put something in there for that. Like that would be a really good idea to put like a nice little sandbox with like a couple of triggers or something. You know, like if you open a door, something pops out, or just like something simple that gives them a damn good idea of what they would get themselves into if they played it. Maybe like the Resident Evil demo. Like that wasn't Resident Evil; it was just a demo.
Right.
So something similar to that would maybe be
that good. Would be cool. Yeah, just like a little something, teaser
something. Thing. Yeah. I used the demo of Job Simulator to onboard a shitload of people into VR before I had the game.
You know, the thing about like Gaming Science teacher saying she doesn't really like first-person shooters, but the downside of that is there's so many beautiful worlds that are within first-person shooters.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you do have the shooter stuff and you might have a boss. And so somebody that just doesn't do well with shooters, it might be super intimidating, and maybe they just feel like they can't get past the shooting parts, so then they're just stuck in the first level. But man, if you could just hop from level to level and just like like see the right. environments and the story that unravels.
Man, if everything was co-op, right, that would be great.
You could just do the shooting.
Yeah, you could be like, just follow behind me. Yeah, follow behind me and just check out the environment. I'll make sure you don't get killed.
Right.
You know, that would be really cool.
You know, and I think that's a good point that you made because, you know, like I play games with my fiance. I like force her to play games with me. I'm like, listen, we're going to make it. We're playing video games together, goddamn it. That's all there is to it.
Nice.
And, you know, she played Breath of the Wild and mostly played that game by herself. Like did a lot, like killed multiple bosses by herself and did good. But when a boss shows up, dude, that is scary as fuck. It's and like we know that it's like just a couple of simple mechanics that once you figure out a pattern you can knock that fucker out, but when you're new to that kind of thing you are in the fight for your life and it is so scary, like that thing's gonna kill you, you know. And like we've done it a million times, we're desensitized, but if you're not really used to killing bosses, that can be a lot in flat gaming.
Yeah.
Now you add VR to the mix and then something's getting in your fucking face.
Yeah.
Like, you, I'm sorry, but that expression may not be for everyone. You know, maybe everyone might not want to be that, put a bullet between that fucker's eyeballs.
Yeah.
Like, for us, that's fun. You know, and for a lot of people, that's fun. But maybe for some people, that expression does not give them any kind of joy.
Sure.
You know, and like, I can't imagine you would put yourself through something like that unless you were having a good time.
It's weird that we put ourselves in these situations, right? That we're so excited to put ourselves in peril with all this horrible shit going on around us, right? In these games. It's kind of funny that we're all, you know.
So since we've been kind of talking with gaming science teacher about this, she says that it's an interesting question whether or not she's going to play it. I could take my own Quest and plug it in with a link cable to someone else's PC, but I don't have any friends or relatives around with that. And if it's an immersive sim type like Prey with enough story and exploration mixed in, options and stuff for direct combat, she can be entertained. So it sounds like if combat really isn't like a primary mechanic, then she can get into it. But if she has to like fight her way through the battle, like I can understand why that might not be for you.
Yeah, especially in a game like this, it's going to be pretty scary.
Mm-hmm. And that's why Animal Crossing is so great for us now.
one of the nice aspects is there's other games coming out for people that aren't into this sort of thing this week, like the Room VR and Down the Rabbit Hole. So there's counter programming, so it's actually a really and you go to PlayStation VR Paper Beast, so a lot of counter programming that people can look to.
That's true. And Delirium Drew says he expects everything. He's like, lots of narrative, people standing around talking, there's going to be stealthy sections, horror sections, action chase sections, somber sections.
Like, I can definitely see that.
He's expecting it all.
I can see that. I mean, Valve pushes the limits of everything, man. They are gonna really bring this, you know, they're gonna bring this thing home, man. You know, Gaben was sitting there, he looked very, very confident. He was talking with everyone and he was saying, you know, this is it, you know, like he sold me on it, man. You know, I didn't really have to be sold on it, but you know, he was like, this is it. We brought our A game.
The dude
you
was know, getting straight up emotional. Like if you pay attention near the end of that interview, that guy is welling up and his voice is getting shaky as fuck. He's like talking about like when he relates it to sending your kid off to college, it just lands. Like he like makes the reference that does himself in, and he's just like, oh my gosh, wow, I really am letting it go. And like you see him get hit with this wave of emotion. So you can tell that this is something that he really has a lot of heart behind. And
absolutely,
like you're saying, he's super confident. He's like, hit us up, tell us what you think.
Yeah, he put his email address in the video. Like he's like, hit me up to let me know. Like, who does that? The CEO of a company? Yeah, well, he's not CEO. It's not public. But, you know, the president of a company. That's pretty wild to just let everyone, you know, have at your inbox like that. That's awesome. That really impressed me. It really did. So, you know, this game, Half-Life 2, came out in 2004, right? So that's 16 years.
2004, really?
That's when they brought Steam and they forced you.
Yes,
that's
I remember, when they started. Man. I remember installing Half-Life 2 and I remember how mad I was because I was like, I have to install this? What the heck is this? You know what I mean? It's like it's a game store, but the only game on it is Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2, right? And it has to run in the background of my PC, which was like a Pentium 2 at the time, right? When that, or something like that, maybe not a Pentium 2.
Smartest decision they ever made, though, probably.
Yeah, it really was, man. It really was. Now everyone has, you know, everyone played Half-Life 2. Everyone had Steam on their computer, and bam, they got into the industry. And now they make 30% of every PC game that hits the market, pretty much.
Pretty cool if there was a similar story with VR. They're like, everyone's like, what's this VR thing? And then they forced them to do it. And then you had the headset. So then you were in.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. And yeah, absolutely. So it's been 16 years in the making. You know, I mean, you know, episode 2 of Half-Life 2 came out in 2007. But really, you know, Half-Life 2 came out in 2004.
What was it? So was that just like a DLC?
Yeah. Yeah, there were two. So there were two DLC expansions. Episode 1, episode 2, and left on a cliffhanger, and it was episode 3 was supposed to come out, and it just, they just went silent. It never happened. It was a very, very strange
thing.
They probably started a
legit version like 3 different times and abandoned it.
Probably. You know? Probably. That's a lot of hype to live up to with finishing that story. Also, you know, the whole Half-Life 3 thing, you know, I think they know that with the current tech, they weren't going to be able to impress anyone, you know, so we'll see what happens with Alex, man. I think this is really, really going to knock it out of the park.
I just hope I don't have to wait too long to play it, man. Like, if I see, like, half the cool scenes on Twitter or Facebook or something before I get the opportunity to get in there and make shit happen, I'm going to be pissed. Actually, yeah. I just remembered I'm going to use your copy.
Go on a blackout, dude.
I'm just going to use his copy. This guy doesn't play during the day. So when...
I will be tomorrow and the next day. I'll be playing.
Just tell me when you're not.
I will. No. What do you think? What do you think as far as, like, how many indexes would these guys have sold if they were able to have the stock, right? Like, what do you think the realistic number would be? So, I mean, they came out with this killer headset, right? I mean, I know Anthony wants to jump in on that. I know there's a lot of glare issues. There really, really is. But as far as, you know, what they have, when that thing is working, it is a great, great VR experience. It really is. The tracking's phenomenal. The screen is very, very clear. The controllers, not the first generation of them, but after, are really, really good. Yeah. It's just a very enjoyable VR experience. And to, you know, for them to then launch this and have a Half-Life game, I mean, that's huge, right? Like, everyone wants a headset right now and no one can get one. I mean, do you think that this is going to have, like, any kind of negative effect on this game or on VR as a whole?
Hopefully it's just kind of one of those things that, like, it's perceived as being a hot item and hard to get because everybody wants it, you know, and then you'll just take it when you can get it kind of situation.
That would be
ideal. You know, kind of like I feel like Nintendo like falsely, like, holds out on shit. Like, they release something that's like impossible to get.
And Disney, know? Too, with you know, putting things in the vault. Right.
Yeah, so, it's like exclusivity sells for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they did that intentionally.
Right.
But, you know, maybe it could not be detrimental. You know, maybe it could be perceived as, like, it's so popular, everybody wants it.
Sure.
Not they're failing to give people, you know, the right number of headsets or whatever.
Yeah. Anthony, did you ever RMA your controllers?
No, still have I mean, my controllers work. They don't make the clicking noise in every direction or whatever, but I've never had a problem with the controllers where it's like, damn, I can't do this action. You know, I've always been able to play the games fine. I probably should at some point do it before, like, my 1 year expires, I guess, just because I'm sure that that manufacturer defect that happened has been fixed now.
Yeah.
So I should eventually do that, but I'll do it after.
Definitely do that before the warranty's up, because what's going to happen is you're going to start having, like, drifting problems with the thumbsticks, where it's always trying to go backwards. You know, there's a lot of weird issues that came up with that generation of controllers after a lot of usage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, eventually that'll happen. So just, I would definitely advise anyone out there that hasn't RMA'd their controllers, you know, after you play Alex, it's probably a good time to do so, because they're not gonna really last.
Can you look at your controllers and be like, they work, but I just want to RMA it. I'm pretty sure it's about to break. Like, doesn't there have to be a problem with
it? There is, but I mean, I feel like...
I mean, there's definitely problems if I wanted to really complain about them, but I've just, you know...
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, I remember running around in, like, Arizona Sunshine after it first came out, and I could only really run sideways. So I played through most of the game with my friend sideways because I could push the button in really hard at the top, and it would make me run, but as soon as I let go, it stopped running, and it was just a mess. Yeah. Especially for almost $300 controllers.
Right?
Right. You'd think they'd be a higher quality standard there.
Right?
Yeah, controllers, come on, man. When are we going to... Like, Oculus always did a great job with the prices of their controllers. Mm-hmm. Like, $99 for a pair of them. Like, that's decent.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, 200 and whatever. I mean, but I fucking paid it. You know, it's like, obviously, it's not too much money.
But they better freaking work, right?
For real.
For a long time.
For real.
I mean, come on.
For real. And, you know, honestly, this blow would be softened if I could just get my fucking code for Alex. So I'm tweeting at these guys after the show. I'm like, okay, guys, it's my birthday, man.
They
like,
ain't answering
Send me my shit. It's my birthday. All
right. Good luck with that.
So I think the biggest and most exciting thing about the Half-Life Alyx launch isn't necessarily Half-Life Alyx, but it's the Source 2 engine. And in this past interview, Gabe did mention that they would be licensing out that Source 2 engine, which means we have a really good engine now in VR to start making some really sick content that people will be able to utilize.
Can you explain this like for somebody brand new?
Sure. So the engine is kind of like a blank slate of a game, right? It has the physics, the general stuff for the physics system and how the game, you know, would generally operate. And then someone can go in there, skin everything, you know, tweak what they need to tweak and create a whole game within that engine without having to recreate the physics system that Valve put in place and things like that, right? So it's kind of like the Unreal Engine.
So it's like, right? It's like I can go into Alyx and like change who the characters are, change the story, change all the items, but like the way everything interacts stays.
Sure,
the same.
But you know, so that would be like you could mod it. Yeah, and they're gonna support modding as well, from what I hear, right? But someone could actually take, just like games are built on built in the Unreal Engine, right? They'll be built in the Source 2 engine instead, right?
Very good.
So that style, that whole style of gameplay and all the things that they've made possible within that game, developers will be able to utilize. And I think that's a really big deal. That's a really big deal.
Oh, it's a big deal if, you know, that scene in Half-Life when they're like swooping the stuff out of the way and putting the bullets in the gun?
Yeah.
Like, if you're telling me every single game automatically gets that functionality, that is a hella big deal, right? Yeah. For any first person immersive type game.
That's a huge, huge thing. That's actually like my favorite scene of all of it. It's just like watching him brush all that shit on the fucking shelf. Mm-hmm. Just like, get all this out of here.
We've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, but like, you know, the pill bottle shakes in place and then takes off at like a million miles an hour. Like, this thing better be polished. Like, if it like does some weird like Apex Construct shit where like it's like flipping around in my hand and takes off. Like,
Dude, this
okay,
is
wait
foul.
A minute, wait a minute. If it does do that though, is VR just like
VR is dead?
Bump, like,
no. If it does that, VR is officially dead. In 6 feet under, it's over.
Everyone bury their headsets.
I mean, of course, I will be willing to forgive it, as will most VR enthusiasts. But you know, the person who's like, "Hold on, this is supposed to be like the next big," like it does need to be good.
Yeah,
it does
absolutely
need to be good.
Yeah, one of the things you got to worry about is when this game comes out, is it going to work well on everyone's hardware? It's really hard in the PC world to make a game for a trillion different configurations. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why the Quest is so popular for developers and stuff. But
this is Valve, man.
Yes.
They've got money. They've got testers. They could test it on all kinds of rigs. They're going to be, you know, they're going to polish the hell out of this. Mm-hmm. This has been done for a long time. So hopefully it's optimized, it's polished. And if you turn down the right settings, you know, you got a 1060, it'll run.
Right.
Sure.
Gaming science teacher is asking, so will the Source 2 engine compete with Unreal and Unity for development?
Oh, I would think so.
So it,
right? I mean, this is going to be, it's kind of
the same role in the development world.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's very much going to
It'll depend on how easy it is,
right,
though. Like,
right.
Like, Unity is so easy.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's going to take some development, right? They're not just going to put it down and say, here, this is a finished product. They're going to be adding to it. They're going to be working on it. They're going to be making more tools for developers. And, you know, so it's going to be a product that's really going to be detrimental for this industry, I think.
So here's a little something that just kind of came to my mind that I'll throw out there. What if in the future they find a way to implement some kind of multiplayer functionality with all of this? Like, I mean, I guess if this engine becomes available, people could make multiplayer games with it.
Sure, sure.
So we could potentially see like online multiplayer.
I think you'll see Half-Life that within Alex's. A month. Yeah, I think you'll see the mod community is, I should say, as soon as it's open for modding and as soon as people have a little bit of time, I think you're going to see all kinds of cool stuff coming out of this. I think the Steam Workshop is going to be a really cool place to be.
Wow. So kind of like how like
Counter-Strike came from Half-Life, yeah, you know, like all these, there's a lot of really, you know, Counter-Strike Go, all the, you know, that whole series, there's a lot of things that came out of modding the Half-Life 2.
So was Team Fortress something that Valve built, or was that like originally a mod that ended up getting like,
I think it was a mod and then they hired the guys,
really,
you know, I'm pretty sure, because Valve hires modders.
Do you know anything about Team Fortress, Anthony?
No, I'm not really like a competitive multiplayer dude.
Yeah,
I'm into
but
it.
I think we're gonna see stuff like that. You know, not officially off the bat from Valve, but I think we're gonna see a lot of cool mod stuff.
Well, I would definitely be down to share that experience. You know, because for me, it's like I enjoy an immersive solo experience, but if I can do it with somebody else, that I get really hooked on that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. And,
hey guys.
Yes.
I thought of a point. I just want to go ahead and mention it before I forget about it. But, you know, one good aspect of this Half-Life Alyx thing is, think about it from this angle. In early December, we got Boneworks.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of physics. Your arms actually have to be, you have to account for your arms going through objects. That was pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Then in late January, we got Saints and Sinners, grabbing the back of a zombie's skull and like you know, the physicality of that, right? You had to
pick up an
axe and it had weight to it. Now we're going to have Alyx. Do you think there's any chance that the combination of people playing those three games in order, it's going to be hard for them to go back to games that don't feature any of that, and you go back to the crap?
Man, I'll tell you what, I hopped into Stormland. And, you know, that's a big AAA game, lots of money thrown into that shit, and your hands go through everything, and it just, you know, it's a good game, don't get me wrong, but, like, I feel like it just wasn't where it should have been, you know what I mean? I never want to see my hand go through an object. That is so immersion.
So, right, I think he's proving your point.
Yeah.
I think he's saying that unless you have that, it will ruin stuff for people.
Yeah, for sure. It ruined Stormland for me. It did, because I played.
It's good and bad. It's good and bad.
It is. It is, for sure. You know, I played Asgard's Wrath, and then I played, Stormland, and I was like, I don't know. And then I played like Boneworks, and it was like, you know, forget Stormland after that. I don't know. I went through Boneworks 3 times in a row.
It's interesting. You know, we might actually end up seeing.
Oh, I love Boneworks.
We might actually end up seeing that kind of game, one that was birthed out of like technological limitation, becoming a style of gameplay in the future, right?
Sure.
So right now, like, you know, when Super Mario Bros. 3 came out, if they would have had the technology to make Super Mario 64, then they would have, but they didn't. They were bound by the limitations of the technology that was available. But now, there's games like Shovel Knight, which have turned that technological limitation into a playstyle and an art form. So we might see something in the future where those kinds of games have their place in the world, because you can have fun with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe it's not as intense as Super Mario 64, but you still liked playing Mario 3, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, it would be cool if games came out that still kind of gave you that feeling, you know?
Yeah.
So we might end up seeing a whole classification of games that are like old style VR versus new style VR, where the physics is all perfect and everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Retro VR gaming.
Right, yeah, exactly, exactly. So you can make a new retro VR game. Somebody who played Job Simulator, who loved it, and they're like, you know what, I'm just going to make one just like Job Simulator, you know? Even though they had the technology to make something ultra amazing, you know?
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, people will definitely take it down that road too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm so excited for this game, and I'm very excited for what this is going to do for the industry. And I hope that the stupid virus doesn't stunt the growth of the community too bad and the industry. You know, on that note, I feel like we've been going here for about an hour. Yeah, is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about?
I guess we made through most of our notes, huh?
Yeah.
I have one last little side topic related to this is, so I talked about this earlier today on my other little show, but I just think it's interesting. I'd like to hear your guys' opinion on it. So I used to be a flat gamer in 2015 and early 2016, and then I got VR, and I don't play flat games anymore at all. But back when I was really into those games, I listened to all the gaming podcasts under the sun, the big ones, you know, like Giant Bomb, IGN, like the real popular mainstream gaming podcasts. Since I've gone exclusively VR, like, these people barely ever talk about VR, so I ditched them a million years ago. But now, with Half-Life Alyx, there's going to be a Giant Bomb episode, I got to imagine, where they're going to discuss Half-Life Alyx. And so now I'm going to download that episode and listen to it for the first time in a long, long time. And one of the questions I have for you guys is, do you think that a lot of the mainstream people that just 2 years ago were hoping VR would just die in a boat fire and just go away already. VR is just a terrible distraction. It's wasting people's time, wasting resources. Do you think these people are going to do a 180, or do you think they're going to just like ignore Half-Life Alyx, or are they going to just stick their heels in the mud and say, well, Half-Life Alyx is kind of cool, but it can't do da-da-da-da-da-da?
So what I think is going to happen, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to turn their nose up. VR, I don't want a new thing, right? But everyone buys a new thing anyway for the games they really want to play. They buy the new Xbox for Halo. They buy the new Nintendo for Mario. These people are going to buy this system for Half-Life, and they're going to be pleasantly surprised at what's going on in the VR world. There's going to be a lot of people that just say, forget it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to stick something on my face. But you know what happens is generations go by, right? The person that doesn't want to put the VR headset on their face is only going to last so much longer before that next generation comes by and they're swooped off their feet and they don't want to play stuff on a monitor anymore. Right. This is an evolution in gaming. Mm-hmm. This isn't a new product. I really believe this is an evolution, the evolution of the industry.
So you're saying that those other shows, all of their viewers, if they say that Alyx isn't great, you think all the viewers of those other shows are going to jump ship? And
no, I mean, I think it's going to take time, right? I think I'm talking over the next, you know, few years. I you know, 5 years, whatever, 10 years, eventually people are gonna go, you want me to play a game on a screen? That's so dumb. Why would I do that? You know what I mean? Like, well, that's so old school. Right? So, why wouldn't I want to be in the game?
So I don't know, man. To answer your question, I could see it going either way. I'm so used to those mainstream platforms just shitting on VR that it almost seems impossible that they would be like, okay, wait a second, VR is amazing, you know, like they might be like, okay, it's finally here, it took long enough, you know, like,
yeah.
I could see it kind of having like some weird like backhanded way of delivering it still somehow. It almost seems like it would be impossible for them to just come out and like be like, okay, yeah, we get it, we finally get it.
Don't you think there might be like one person though that is like a super mainstream, like, never messed with VR, never liked it, begrudgingly, you know, dragged kicking and screaming into a VR headset, plays Alyx, keeps playing Alyx, finishes it all the way, and then is like, wow, this VR thing is way the F better than I ever thought it was. Why is no one talking about this? Then they play Asgard's Wrath, then they play Boneworks, then they play Saints and Sinners, and they're like freaking converted and shit.
Yeah.
But then they got to go back and write stories about flat games when they're not really interested.
But that's when those channels start to evolve as well. right? Because as these influencers start playing this stuff and they start falling in love with the technology, they're going to start talking about it more because they love it.
Well, it all comes down to the numbers, right? If the numbers are there, they'll change. If the numbers aren't there, they won't.
Yeah, so that's true. That's really true as well. But I feel like they will continue to every once in a while talk about it, because how can you not talk about something that you love so much? You know, VR is just this amazing thing that people really need to try. They got to get into this. And as long as the momentum that Half-Life brings to this industry continues, and people don't go, oh, that game was awesome, and then put their headset down, you know, after completing Boneworks and Saints and Sinners, and as long as games that are up to par for normal gaming standards that you would find on 2D screens, mm-hmm. right, then I feel like this industry is going to be just fine, and it's going to continue to move forward at a quicker and quicker and quicker space as it picks up more snow.
James, the VR Mang, asks, is it possible that this game will unintentionally fly under the radar because of what's happening in the world today?
Yeah, I think it could. Absolutely. So many people are afraid of life right now.
You know what's flying under the radar, guys? The freaking YouTube shows. I got to tell you, like, everybody, you would think everybody would be watching YouTube because everybody's home.
Yeah.
But, like, the numbers of YouTube shows are, like, way down. Something weird's really going on YouTube.
Well,
right
there's also a lot of problems with connectivity issues and the internet in general.
Yeah, every time you go to stream something, it looks like absolute dog dick. You're not going to sit there and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just issues, and the government is in communication with these big companies asking them to throttle down. For real, so they don't break the internet. I mean, not, you know, the internet, but all these, we've never taxed our ISPs, routers, and equipment like this before. Right. You know what I mean? This is unprecedented that this many people are home and using the internet at the same time.
Delirium Drew says he doesn't have any doubts about the game. He says it's going to be like a 9.8 out of 10, and Gabe's kind of a freak on quality control.
I think it's going to be a 9.9 to a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. That's like, does anything like show stuff get 10s? No, coming from Mr. VR game rate rankings, okay? Like, do games get 10s? Like, can you give that? Is that, can you give a perfect score on something?
Not usually. I mean, God, it would have to be like Grand Theft Auto 6 in VR or something.
And everything get online. A 10. Yeah.
You can get like a 9.8 or something though, maybe.
What's the highest rated game on your website?
Man, you know what? It was, I don't actually do a lot of reviews. Mm-hmm. I haven't done a lot of reviews in a while, but for a long time, it was actually Robo Recall. Robo Recall was one of the highest rated games in the early days of
VR
games.
Favorite games. I love that game.
Lone Echo is real high.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, can I say something?
Say that, yeah.
I played Lone Echo 2 at OC6. I, like, rode the coattails of Nathie and VR Oasis into this, like, oh, no, I know who it was. It was Tyrael Wood.
Oh, okay.
I rode Tyrael. Dude, he is the coolest dude ever, man. I love Tyrael Wood. Awesome guy. Yep. Great VR tech YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed, I imagine you are if you're here. But if you're not, you should definitely go subscribe to Tyrael Wood. He's awesome.
Sure, I think he's going to be on the show this season.
We are going to have him as a guest soon. Yeah. And when we were hanging out at OC6, he had already played Lone Echo 2, and he had an appointment to go into like the Oculus like creators booth or whatever, and I was just there like with my selfie stick. And he was like, I've already done all this stuff, man. He's like, why don't you go? Like, go do the Beat Saber 360 songs. Go take my appointment. Go play Lone Echo. I was like, oh, my God. I was so fucking excited. And because I get this, like, special area, you know? Yep. He really hooked it up. And so I get in there, and I did the Beat Saber 360 levels. Amazing. Super fun. Had a blast. I was dripping sweat after two songs. And then I played Lone Echo 2 for, like, 35 minutes. And it was boring, dude. I was bored.
Really?
I was fucking bored. Uh-oh. Like, it was just this, like, I mean, it was all just, like, zero gravity. It was, like, it was, like, Echo Arena.
Sure.
Without any action.
I played the same demo. Do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't very good.
It was boring as fuck. And, like, the only real mechanic that I could find was, like, don't touch the wall. It was, like, the wall is bad. Can't touch the wall. Can't touch that thing or that thing. And I'm just, like, trying to, like, float between it. Oh, nope, you touched it. Respawn.
Whoa.
It was, like, not fun, man. I really did not have a
blast. You know what, though? I don't have any worries at all about it, because they probably just had a little, like, this is technically Lone Echo 2. You can kind of float around and do some stuff in this little area of Lone Echo 2. And they just, like, I wouldn't worry that demo was really bad, because it really was bad, but I have no worries for the game.
You make me feel a lot better, man, because I felt like I was like, there must have been something wrong with me because of how much people praise Lone Echo. And all of a sudden I play Lone Echo 2 exclusive demo and I'm like falling asleep. Like,
yeah, wow.
So you make me feel better that I'm not alone in that.
Yeah.
Maybe
I wouldn't worry about it.
So in chat, Danny Hunkley asked, do you think multiplayer will be needed to drive the success of the game? So many first-person shooters grew because of multiplayer.
I don't think so.
Not on this particular IP.
But in VR as a whole, yes.
Yeah.
I think good VR multiplayer is required for VR to succeed. But I think Half-Life
and especially
now,
co-op, right?
Yes.
If you're going to do storylines and stuff, let me play with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if Skyrim VR would have been co-op, I would have never fucking come out of that game.
Oh, I know, dude. This is a few games like
so
that.
Sick. So freaking sick, man.
The Walking Dead to me, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners is the epitome of what should have been multiplayer, right? Sending your friends out to scavenge or to sneak around back of a house to distract people and draw their fire while you sneak in and get the thing that you're trying to get. I mean, that would have taken that game to a whole new level.
And VR is like the only place to do that shit, man. Yeah. I don't know if you've played Firewall Zero Hour on PS4, but like that is the first game that I've ever played where actual cover fire, real cover fire works and is a thing. You know, like if you're playing Call of Duty, like you can't give somebody suppressing cover fire. Like no one gives a fuck, you know, but in Firewall, all of a sudden these bullets come out, you're like, you hit the deck and then your homies can go. Like you really can give suppressing cover fire in VR because it's so immersive and your head's on a swivel. That's something that can happen in VR in a way that flat gaming has never been able to do. So I do think action co-op or competition. I personally love competitive gaming online too, but it needs to be cooperative competitive. I don't like to be the only one out there, me against everyone. I need like you to stun that guy while he heals me and I deliver the killing blow. And the three of us together just fucking did something.
Yeah.
You know, like that I think will push VR forward. And people understand that they can connect playing games like that.
Absolutely.
I think it'll make it more mainstream.
I think so too. Well, I think with that, that we should probably...
We can wrap it.
Wrap it up,
We can wrap it. I have really enjoyed being in this... In this disgusting laboratory.
I just want to know, are you going to eat that head crab that's wrapped up on the table in front of you?
I'll share it with you.
Yeah?
It's okay.
Yeah, you want to dive into that?
I'll share it with you. We'll throw it in the microwave.
Microwave a head crab. And thank you so much to VR365. Anthony, why don't you tell everyone, I mean, everyone here knows your channel,
but tell everyone
how they can find you online.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's VR365 on YouTube, VR Game Rankings if you just want to go to a website, and at VR Game Rankings for Twitter. It's pretty much it. Info at VR Game Rankings if you want to shoot me an email about something.
VRGameRankings.com, I think, is the most underrated website on the planet, by the way. Oh. I mean, yeah, I don't know why that site doesn't get ridiculous amounts of traffic right now. You know, I think it's up and coming, man.
All you gotta do is put Alex at the top of it, and then you'll get hits for a while. Because people just want
to
go
cool.
confirm.
It's
that.
Like a cool little bookmark to like keep up on the best stuff that has recently come out and the best stuff that's coming up. I think it's good for that because like you could go to Steam and just look at like the upcoming releases, but you got to scroll through like 20 pages and then stuff is missing and nobody really, we have like a top 100 most wanted PC VR games where we look at 100 upcoming games and you can go all the way into like 60 and 70.
Wow.
And there's still great games that like Crunch Element. You guys have probably heard of Crunch Element. Mm-hmm. Like it's in like the 60s or 70s. That's how many great games are coming over the next like 3 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. It's a good time to be in VR.
It is. It's exciting. You know? And, you know, like you just said, we're super happy to have you on the show, Anthony. Thank you so much for joining us, man. You're the real deal. To those in the chat who have been with us, thank you for being here. It's super fun. Gaming
thank
Science Teacher.
Sorry for the initial
Delirium
technical
Drew,
issues.
James the VR Mang, Danny, Hankley, like Dinah Gwen. What's up, girl? We'll see you in a minute. this has been awesome. Thank you so much for being here and helping us hype up Alex.
VR. Yeah. Tomorrow, guys, this is it. This is it. Tomorrow morning, we'll all be hopping into
Alex.
We're all
going to be there. So subscribe to this channel. Subscribe to my channel, Alex VR. Subscribe to VR365. Be an active participant in VR stuff. Like shit. Like, you know, leave comments. It's not hard. And, you know, you get to be an active member of the community, which is really, really fun, actually. Yeah. So like the stuff, comment it. Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you again, Anthony. And we will see you very soon for episode 7 of Between Realities. I've been Alex VR. This is Skiva. That's Anthony. Thank you again. We'll see you soon.
Adios.
Bye, guys.